We come in our scripture reading to Romans chapter 11, and today we read verses 1 to 10. You'll find it in your pew Bible on page number 1204. Now, Reformed theologians make a distinction between the visible church and the invisible church, and this is a passage that doctrinal understanding comes from, that the church can be seen in its outward institutional form. This is a church, it's a building. That's good. There's the offices. There's the outward church, and God has ordained the visible church. It's necessary. And yet there's also the invisible church, and that is the elect. And the two overlap, but they are not exactly the same. And now here Paul points out that God had ordained for its sins and idolatry actually to judge the visible church of outward Israel. Now, that's his explanation for the question behind this section of Romans, which is, if God is sovereign, if he saves by his grace, why aren't all the Israelites saved? And Paul's, one of his answers is, because it was not God's intention to save the outward church of Israel. In fact, we have here some rather stark promises of God that he would in fact harden the hearts of outward Israel. There's many more in the Old Testament that show that's what God was going to do. But at the same time, God does save the elect. He saves the invisible church. Now, the members of the invisible church are seen, but you cannot tell by looking at them. Just because they're in the church, you cannot tell the difference between those who are truly saved and those who are not. But Paul says, don't be discouraged. God will save all the elect. And of Israel, I'm a Jew myself. God has saved all. Where does Christianity come from but Jerusalem? And who were the apostles? And the early church began with the Jewish churches. God is getting his harvest of the elect out of Israel, and he will bring all of his people to salvation. Well, that raises the question, how can I know that I'm in the invisible church? How can I know that I'm one of the elect? And the answer is always because of faith in the Lord Jesus. Paul says here, look at verse 6, if it is by grace, it's no longer on the basis of works. It is characteristic of outward Christians who were not inwardly saved that they're relying on works. Don't rely on works for your salvation. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ by God's grace. God's grace would be glorified by the grace that it is, and he does so by saving the elect. No matter what's going on in the church, there are times when the church is blessed and is unified and is faithful to the Lord. There are other times when it is not, and God will judge the visible church. But the true believers will always be saved, not by works, by faith in the Lord Jesus. Well, let's have that in mind as we read God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 1. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he appeals to God against Israel. Lord, they have killed your prophets. They have demolished your altars, and I am alone left. And they seek my life. But what is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear, down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see and bend their backs forever. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.